Reading from Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. And listening, friends, so you don't think it's one of those Groundhog Days repeating, I'm re-airing last week's broadcast with Billy Sunday and Russ Williams, as the event is just 4 days away, and I want you to come join us. Billy Sunday joins me on the phone lines. He hasn't returned to the Springfield area for 125 years, but he's with me on the phone line. And on Sunday, May 28th, that's Pentecost Sunday, at 4 p.m., we're hosting a Billy Sunday 1909 celebration, 6 weeks that God used him to save the soul of Springfield. And Billy Sunday has had such a powerful impact on Springfield, on our country, on parts of the world, because he surrendered himself to the Lord Jesus Christ years ago. In fact, at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, there's the Billy Sunday Chapel, and that's where he gave his heart to the Lord and has been used of God in so many different ways. So, Billy, you're coming to Springfield on Sunday, May 28th, and you're going to deliver a message. You're going to talk about your life story. So how about sharing how God drew you to himself? Tell us some of your testimony.
Yes, sir. Well, I was born in Ames, Iowa, and we were born in poverty. My dad was in the Civil War, and he died before I was born, actually. We were destitute there. My mom couldn't hold us in the house. She sent us off to a military soldier's orphanage over there in Brentwood, Iowa. I was raised that way, but he blessed me. The Lord, he blessed me with blazing speed. The fastest guy, maybe, some said, the fastest guy in the United States at one time. They used to race me against people all the time. I always won. Just a blessing. I don't know. But along comes Cap Anson from the Chicago White Sox, the White Stockings in those days, and he said, I want to hire you. And we skipped the minor leagues and everything else. I was playing a little semi-pro ball in Marshallton, Iowa, and he hired me, paid me, brought me into town, and he had one thing that I could see. He was a brilliant man. He said, if you get a tie game coming in, he said, and a man gets on first, either by a hit, by pitch, by a walk, by an error, he gets a base runner. He said, I'll call. Billy, you're in, boy. He said, I would take that base, and he knew I would go from first to second. He knew I'd beat that catcher. There wasn't a catcher in the league that could throw me out. I'd get to second. All I had to have a little infield dribble, I'm on third base. You got one out now. A fly ball to center field, right field, the outfield. I score. I tag up and score because of the speed. We win the game. I hit the headlines. Sunday scores. Chicago wins. I became a big man in that league, playing like 50 or 60 games a year as a pinch runner and an outfielder. I could chase fly balls down. So I became a hero in that league for 8-9 years, making 10 times more than the average factory worker. Living, but it was wine, woman, and song. As those guys had so much time on their hands, we were always in beer joints and stuff. I wasn't a heavy drinker, but I'd go with them just to be with them. Mike King Kelly was the Babe Ruth of his day, and all those things happened. And one day, we were in a bar room, me and Williamson and Fred Flint, the catcher, and I heard some gospel singers. We were sitting on the sidewalk, actually, half-tanked up, and heard them singing the old gospel songs my mother and grandmother used to sing to us as kids, and something touched me. I knew some of them had died. I had some sorrow, tears started to flow. A guy came over. He said, you ought to come with us. I think you'll like it down at Pacific Garden Mission House. You'll hear stories of drunkards that gave up booze because of meeting Christ. And woman of the night gave up the street and the secretaries in those high-rises now. And second story men telling the story. I don't do that anymore because of Jesus Christ. It was amazing. And sure enough, touched my heart there at the Mission House. And I tell you, my tears, I can see every crack in the floor there where the tears ran like rivers. And I gave my heart, staggered out of life and into the arms of the Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. My life changed. And he put me in the preacher. He put me with YMCA to J. Wilbur Chapman, who taught me how to preach. And then I got a call from Garner, Iowa, and I never looked back. The Lord filled the houses everywhere I went.
Well, Billy, I want you to put Russ on the phone with me because I want to hear some of his personal testimony and how God has used him being the Billy Sunday of our day. But I want to extend an invitation to all our listeners to come out on Pentecost Sunday. That's May 28th at 4 p.m. downtown Springfield at the BOS Center. That's the Bank of Springfield Center. It can accommodate thousands of people. It'll be worth driving in for. There'll be times of worship and testimony, and it's a Billy Sunday 1909 celebration. To find out more, stop by BillySunday1909.org. That's BillySunday1909.org. Well, thank you, Billy. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday, May 28th. Put Russ on the line because we need to hear some of his testimony and life journey and how God brought him to this place, his own transformational Billy Sunday story of being used in unique ways. So put Russ on. So, Russ, I want to hear a little of your own testimony and faith journey because God is using you in this unique role because you identify with Billy Sunday in a number of ways. You have a large family, 7 sons that are all athletes, 13 grandchildren. You've been married to the beloved Elena for 62 years. Thank you, God, for your marriage. But I want to hear a little of your own faith journey and what God has done in your life to equip you to be our Billy Sunday in Springfield on May 28th, 4 p.m.
Praise the Lord. Hmm. Good to be with you, Mark. I'll tell you, the wife got born again first many years back, and she handed me a Bible when I was 41. I didn't want to read the Bible, but for her, I read the Bible. Took a long time. Took 17 years. Mm. And finally it broke through this hard shell that a man carries with him all his life against Jesus Christ. Mm. It broke through. What happened was 10 weeks before the actual breakthrough, I turned the radio on in Florida in a new place, a radio of all things, not a TV, and there was a Christian station just like yours. Florida's Christian Voice, they call themselves. And I listened every day for hours in between workloads. And that word, this was preachers from all over the country, different denominations, telling me from different Bibles. And all of a sudden, one day I woke up at 2 in the morning. I woke up with such strength, Mark. Hmm. I couldn't believe it. I really thought, I was living in De Leon Springs. I thought Ponce de Leon had indeed found the fountain of youth. Mm. Because in my 50s, I felt like I was 20. I was doing push-ups and sit-ups on the floor, and I was wind sprinting. I said, why can't I tire myself out? And all of a sudden, it was about noontime, and it came to me, and the cross loomed up. I just fell to my knees, and I just fell to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. You had to take those stripes for a wretch like me. Mm. And he changed it. It turned from sorrow to the euphoric joy. It's just a tremendous time. There's no time like it in a man's life. Mm. And it turned me all around. I said, my goodness, what are you going to do? The wife said, you got to go to church now. Church? I said, them people have no idea what just happened to me. Mm. And sure enough, the first 5 didn't, and I met an independent Baptist church, and they taught me the Bible for 10 years. Next thing I know, I'm out preaching. Mm. I'm on the street with them, and people are getting mad. And I went down to the Orlando Mission House. They invited me to go down there. They heard me on the street. I go down here. I was down here 4 times, like Billy at Pacific Garden, you know. I was preaching down there. And then Deland Nursing Homes. And I said, what is drawing? What kind of man would God take and put them before a big crowd, night after night after night, year after year. What would do that? What would cause that to happen? The Lord would cause it. I look at that picture I just sent you of Billy before the Springfield people. There's 7,000, 8,000 people there, Mark. And it's just an amazing scene. They have an hour with people that tell them what Christ did for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable to me. So I began to study Billy 3 years. I started incorporating some of his work into my sermons and stuff. And I saw it had an effect. And I finally one day called where he began, in Garner, Iowa. I called the Chamber of Commerce there. Said, "You guys remember Billy Sunday?" She said, "Remember him?" I said, "We got a sign out here for 100 years. This is where the Sawdust Trail began," she says. I said, "Well, I do a Sunday." "Well, you got to come out here for our Ducey Days, big celebration they have in July every year." So I go out there in the park, and they had this all set up with two flatbed trucks and all kinds of microphones there. And we drew a crowd, and I preached. I felt it was almost like it was deja vu. I mean, I couldn't believe what the Lord was doing with that sermon. And it was so wonderful to do that for him.
Mm-hmm.
And as a payment, I mean, you can't pay the Lord, but it was just breathtaking. I think of it. And then I got a call from the town the next over, and I went the next year over there. Next thing I know, I got a call from the museum, the Billy Sunday Museum in Winona Lake, and I went there. And then they had a big tent revival in Ardmore, Alabama, and I went down there. And the place was full of people. It was only like maybe 600 or so, but they were outside all milling around, and it gave an atmosphere of what Boston was like. They tell me guys from Harvard and BU and Northeastern were climbing on the roof of the tabernacle there on Huntington Avenue in Boston, opening the roof up like the tiles, the man they lowered down, the crippled man, and just to hear him, just to hear Sunday in Boston, because the place was packed. They couldn't get in the door. And there's 16,000 people in that place. It's just amazing to me that he would do that. He does seem to choose some men. He puts them out there, like Graham and Sunday and Finney's of the world and the Moody's and Spurgeon's. And he does seem to pick and choose certain men to reach the mass of audiences. And I just want to know what they preached. And it really has nothing to do with that. I think I found out the Lord just, he looks at the heart, and like everything else. And he picks his David out of the sheepfold there. And Moses, he picks him out to lead his country out of the River Nile as a condemned baby. And he just pulls those tricks on people, I think.
Mm.
And God bless him for it. Once you meet him, who can't love Jesus Christ? Who could curse him? Who could tell people Christmas was about something else? Who could tell them that Easter, a fairy tale, when it's the greatest event in human history? Those things just have struck me so deeply that I howl wherever I can. And it's about my story, mister.
Now, I asked you beforehand, what would you say to the non-believer or the seeker that would be tuned in for today's edition of Mark and Friends? And you said, "Mark, the greatest call anyone can make is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus for their soul salvation." And we began the program with Psalm 34, verse 6, which says, "This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles." And that was similar to you, to Billy Sunday, that you called on the name of the Lord. And for the listener today that's maybe unfamiliar with this great God, this sovereign God that created everything, that sent the Lord Jesus, what was it that struck your heart? Was it reading God's word, hearing a radio program? What made sense that you then could be that man that called on the Lord and felt like you were heard?
It was all the preaching all at once. I had never really heard it like that. all of it come in like 6 or 8 hours a day for like 100 days. It just kept pouring into my soul. I did it almost as punishment. I had gone bust in a big business deal overseas. I had over $6 million tied up in things, and it all went up in dust. I ended up in a trailer down in Florida. Yeah. I don't want to go to Florida. Anyway, I went down to Florida and went into this place. There was no TV, no nothing. We were broke. Here I am, 50 years old. My goodness gracious, what do I do now, Coach? Well, everybody knew I'd pull up something else along the way, but for the moment, all we had was a little radio, and I turned it on, and I heard the word every day. And they say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And, boy, nothing ever applied more than to Russ Williams on that on that occasion. It just penetrated somehow. In a moment of time, I realized the truth and fell to my knees. It drove me down to an almighty God that you just talked about, who was so good to me, because I had health all my life. I had family, a huge, wonderful family. And I had love. I had found love in a moment of time. I had everything the world wanted, family, health, love. And then he comes into it. And you're looking and talking with a blessed man because of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, told me who it was writing this thing. And just staggering to think about it from my point of view. He's been so good to me. I'm overwhelmed over time, and I want to tell the world, of course. I chose Billy because he was so sensational in doing it. He had an odd way of doing it. Pilate sold him out. He's nothing but a two-bit, tin, hard, wad-healing, yellow-bellied, coward politician, he says. Out to save his job. That's all he did. Is that what you'll do tonight? What'll he say down to Poker Hall when I don't show up on a Wednesday night, right? What'll the boys down the barroom say Friday when I don't show up? What'll my family say when I pray at every meal? What are you, some kind of fanatic? It's a ridicule that man can't and won't stand for. It's our soul. Just keep it protected. It's just amazing once you find out what you're really made of, Mark. And it's sometimes frightening to think about what was going on and the times I faced death on the highway, going like the wind and hit a skid mark and off you go. And nothing happens. I mean, you wonder, you think about it, where you would have been that night. And another one, I missed an 18-wheeler with jackknife across the road, and I don't know how I got past him. I honestly don't. And those things and the runaway gas truck had me pinned on 110 along the Merrimack River. I missed him. We don't know. We're talking inches, a foot maybe. And thing blew up, hit the wall. I think of those moments, and I shudder still. Because I knew what would happen. What would happen to me? I had rejected Jesus Christ. I had rejected his offer of eternal life, for Pete's sake. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And how about you, Russ? Have you accepted the gift, or have you rejected the gift? It just rattles the very being of a man to think about it. I'd rejected it all my life. Who ever heard of someone? Who would reject someone who came to die for you? Who? Only a fool, an idiot, would do a thing like that. Protect his own reputation. My goodness. What a... You have to break down. It was Billy breaking down in Pacific Garden Mission House when he went down there. He said one time, nobody knows this one. I don't know how I run across this, but he said, I can tell you every crack in the floor of the Pacific Garden Mission House, when I began to cry, I was on my knees on the floor. He said, and all the tears that flowed, He said they ran down these cracks like tributaries, like little rivers. He said, I can tell you every one of them right now. I can tell you that when I, every time I walk by, ride by Van Buren Street, he says, where the people were singing and the gospel songs. And I said, this is it, fellas. I'm going with them. I'm going down as Jesus now. Staggered out of life and fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I loved them. I loved them. I love Billy, but we all love the Lord. There's nothing, nothing on earth that can touch Jesus Christ.
Well, listening friends, Russ Williams will be coming to Springfield on May 28th, 4 p.m. at the Bank of Springfield Center in downtown Springfield. It's a free event. It's a Billy Sunday 1909 celebration of the great work that he did being used of God 125 years ago, shortly after the race riots, and he brought great healing and hope and transformation to Springfield. God worked through him through 6 weeks that saved the soul of Springfield. And on May 28th, you're invited to come out and join in on the festivities. There'll be a worship team, a whole worship group of people from around Springfield that will be singing and declaring the wonders of God. And then Russ will be putting on a Billy Sunday celebration where he will recite and speak out and proclaim God's goodness as Billy Sunday did so many years ago. And so if you want to find out more information or register so we have an idea of how many people are coming, it's BillySunday1909.org, BillySunday1909.org.
God bless you. I thank you for calling me.
Thank you. All right, we'll see you.
Good. You're going to be there?
Yo, definitely. Yeah, I'm promoting this every day between now and then and radio announcements and encouraging, you know, all my friends to head out. So hopefully.
What do you think of my subject?
Hey, Billy Sunday, I got to go. We'll talk off air. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Billy Sunday and Russ Williams with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.